make a true confession. I have never been in love before, but since you came in my direction, I've had a change of heart. My girls had come a dime a dozen. I fed them the things they love to hear. I never was wanting for a lover, but I never knew what true love was indeed. Girl, I'm in love with you, sure as the sky is blue. Just let me through to you. Yes, girl, my love is true. Girl, I'm in love with you, sure as the sky is blue. Just let me through to you. Yes, girl, my love is true. A great pretender. For the very first time, I'm for real. You got me listening to my heart now. You gotta believe how I feel. I'm ready to become the giver. Now that I'm alive, just give and take. Ooh, your love has broken my despair. This time of night, just out on the main. I gotta tell you, baby. Girl, I'm in love with you. Sure, the sky is blue. Just let me prove to you. Yes, girl, my love is true. Girl, I'm in love with you. Sure, the sky is blue. Just let me prove to you. Yes, girl, my love is true.
Another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. We are using the platform Blog Talk Radio, and we thank you for tuning in once again. Music, like poetry, has a message, and history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking you to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you are sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves. Indeed, as I always say, vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. Now, before I go into our student host and their presentation, I'd like to bring on the host and the panel just to say good morning, starting out with Tanisha Gardner. Good morning, and how are you?
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm good.
Okay, and we're going to move to our first student host and say good morning, Walter Pierce. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. Thank you very much. And our next student host, Justin Hill. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning.
All right. And we couldn't do this without you, Mr. Shelton Harris. Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay. So we're going to go straight to our first student host, who's going to be Walter Pierce. And our student hosts, Justin Hill and Walter Pierce, present three segments each that will incite you, and you'll learn, and you'll want to learn more about the details on your own about history, definitions, and community-minded musical artists. So sit back, take a listen, and enjoy. And without any further ado, I turn it over to you, Mr. Walter Pierce, and good morning once again.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, this week's segment for me is on Alexander Miles, who contributed to the elevator industry, was an African-American inventor of the late 19th century who transcended racial barriers in the United States. Miles, born in Minnesota, designed an elevator that was able to open and close its own doors and the elevator shaft doors. When the elevator would arrive or depart from a given floor, the doors would move automatically. Previously, the opening and closing of doors of both the shaft and the elevator had to be done completely manually by either the elevator operator or the passengers, contributing greatly to the hazards of operating an elevator. Miles attached a flexible belt to the elevator cage, and when the belt came into contact with drums, positioned along the elevator shaft just below and its floors, it allowed the elevator shaft doors to operate at the appropriate times. The elevator doors themselves were automated through a series of levers and rollers. The influence of this elevator pattern is still seen in modern designs, since the automatic opening and closing of elevators shaft doors is still a standard feature. And that concludes my segment on Alexander Miles, again, an African-American who contributed to something that we use all the time in our world today, elevators. And, you know, this was something that was very interesting for me to find because I of course, did not know that Alexander Miles did something as important like this. So thank you again. This is student host Walter Pierce on 89.5 WSOU.
Okay. Now, Walter, before we go to the next song, I just have to chop this up. And, Mr. Harris, I'm coming straight to you. I'm going to flip it a little bit, but, you know, here we are talking about necessity being the mother of invention, where it was, for safety reasons, important to be able to come up with an invention like this, because prior to that, you know, elevator doors being done manually, there had been a number of cases where people have actually lost their lives because the elevator door might have been left open on a particular floor in the elevator shaft, and thereby somebody walking in unbeknownst to them and plunging to their death, unfortunately. But with this invention, it allows the doors to open and close automatically. And so after saying, regurgitating everything that Walter just said, right, my question is, why don't we have enough of our brothers and sisters that are actually going into trade skill industries that will allow their minds to expand, to be a little bit more open and be creators and inventors? And I just don't, maybe I'm living in a bubble, but I don't see enough of that going on today. Maybe you can help me out, Mr. Harris.
Okay, all right. Well, one of the ways that I see it is that we kind of, you know, attached ourselves to the boys model of moving ourselves forward, where we thought that just we get the educated 10% to be able to do, and they'll help bring the other rest of us with us, rest of us with them. Instead of the Booker T. Washington mindset, is that where we need to have all of the components to build a society ourselves, and then look for acceptance from outside of our community, you know, and it's hard for us because we, you know, like I was saying, in the district I work in, it's 100% college preparatory. And we know that everybody's not going to be successful in college, and we're not giving them any other outlet in the industrial arts, where most people make money, and that's how they got into the middle class in the first place. Plumbers and electricians.
It's more like a cookie cutter approach to education.
Yeah, and it's rough because even though we do need college educated people in our community, we also need people that can fix cars. We need people that can stop your house from burning down with your water systems. And, you know, there's a lot of things that it takes to build a nation. And we're not in the job of building nations anymore. We're trying to be part of other people's world.
Okay. Okay.
I'm trying to be good.
Well, just be yourself, and we will accept you because you're amongst loved ones here. We all love you, and we appreciate, you know, your input and your comment. Okay, you know, there are no wrong answers here. However, if there are, I'll let you know. That being said, I'm going to go to Tanisha. Tanisha, you know, it said that the Rockefellers pretty much didn't want people to understand finance. They just wanted people to be educated to a level so that they can just become workers instead of inventors and creators and innovators, right? And pardon me there, Walter. Hate to steal a little bit of your steam there. But what do you think about my statement that I just made in the invention, education, the cookie-cutter approach, right? Or just make a comment on Alexander Miles.
That's very deep. Like, Alexander Miles, that's very popular. That's the first time I ever heard of him, so that's why I love the show so much. So I guess to go back to what everyone is saying, we have to pay attention to our children. And what I mean by pay attention to our children, we have to see the skills and the talents, because once you're born with certain abilities, right? So how do we hone into those abilities? Because everyone is not going to be, like you said, a basketball star, and everybody's not going to be an inventor. So we have to hone into the skills of each particular child, and then teach them about the entrepreneurship. And at the same time, everyone is not going to be an entrepreneur. Some people like to be an employee. So how do you understand your rights as an employee, and how do you put that back into your community? And I think that's what it's about. It's about self-preservation and knowledge of self, and also knowledge of community. And I think once we start doing that, and start building the institutions or be able to collaborate with the institutions that actually help them garner the skills that they need to be successful, that's when we will definitely start to see a change, you know, and be able to give them the tools to be able to be their best and to be able to, and also to bring out their best.
Okay. I have Mr. Davis on the line. First of all, Mr. Davis, we're talking about Alexander Miles, who invented the automatic door on the elevator, right, thus saving lives and also a lot of manpower that had to actually operate elevators. But we've gone a little bit deeper, as you can hear, in this conversation about education and should everyone go to college, should, you know, the cookie-cutter approach, one size fits all. Why don't we see enough brothers and sisters actually going into different fields where they can learn a trade or a skill, right, to become that inventor, that innovator? What's your comment there? And good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? First of all, there's a plethora of African-Americans and people from the continent, people from all over the world that have been involved with making great inventions and never really getting the credit. There's a whole list. If you read Ivan Van Sertima's Blacks in Science, a great book, there's a whole slew of information that goes back to ancient history in terms of invention and science. So to answer the question whether or not somebody should actually consider college as an the ultimate goal and plan or trade school, I would consider both. I agree with both Booker T. Washington and Du Bois in terms of the argument which works best. You have some people that may be more academically inclined, and you have some people that may be more inclined in terms of a trade. My brother has electrical engineering degree. He's finishing up his electrical engineering degree, and he's always been good with stuff like that as a child. Right now what's taking place, I have my brother's contractor fixing my apartment right now. I don't go outside to do that. I go straight to my brother. So I see the benefit, and I paid him the regular wage, but I see the benefit in having family members who can actually help me with my business structure based on their skill sets and what they're capable of doing. And they're really experienced. They know electrical. They know this. They know that. So in my family, it was both. It was academic and having additional skills in terms of trade. My mother had fostered both ideas of Booker T. Washington and Du Bois.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. No, thank you. Bringing a different perspective to the whole idea and conversation is what we're all about and what we really needed to hear, at least myself. Well, I think everybody on the panel. But, you know, without any further discussion, I'm going to continue on musically, right, with starting something with Michael Jackson. So, yeah, we starting something.
Be starting.
Okay, and we're back. No matter what you think, his music will be played in perpetuity, if you know what that means, forever, right? Michael Jackson, want to be starting something. Definitely that's what we're doing here. It's Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. I want to bring on our next student host, Justin Hill, for definitions, but I would like for Walter, Mr. Pierce, to introduce our student host, Justin.
And now introducing their diamond segment for today, it is Justin Hill.
Good morning, everybody. This is student host Justin Hill on WSOU. It's my definition segment. It'll be on the word neophyte. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And neophyte is a person newly converted to a belief as a hetero, heretic, or non-believer. And also means that like someone is like new to something and like a beginner of something. And that concludes my segment on definitions. I thank you guys for listening on WSOU.
Okay, if I may, Justin, ask you a question. Why did you choose that particular word, neophyte?
I chose neophyte because, personally, I think that I am a neophyte because I'm new to being on the radio and things like that.
Okay, we'll take it. Mr. Harris, what do you think about that definition and his response and reason for actually choosing that word?
I think the reason was more important to me than the definition, because sometimes we have to look at ourselves and see how we fit into things. And Justin definitely just showed that he's not only looking outside, he's looking inside too.
Okay. Right. I'm going to go to the other student host. What did you think, Walker? What did you think about your little brother there?
Yeah, you know, he is a neophyte, and I guess I could consider myself one too. You know, I've been doing this for a good amount of time, but there's still things that I'm still new to, and I'm still trying to learn. And, you know, I'm still young, so I guess I could consider myself one as well.
Wow. Now, that's deep. I like that response. Tanisha Gardner, have you ever heard of the word neophyte?
Oh, yes. I don't know what you made me think about The Matrix, but yeah. but no, that's a good, definitely a good word. It reminds me definitely about ancient Egypt and how they were teaching them, you know, especially about the different laws of governing. And I think that's very important because we, as Walter said, we all neophytes at the end of the day because there's so many things that we don't know. And we always have to learn, no matter how young or old that we are.
Okay. All right. And so now what I'd like to do is continue on, musically that is, right, with a song titled Big Brother. So let's check this out. And when we come back, we're going to hand it back over to Walter Pierce for his next segment of Definition.
Your name is Big Brother. You say that you are watching me on the telly. Ain't me go nowhere. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're tired of me protecting. Children dying every day. My shouting that I can't wait to see your face inside my door. Oh. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you got me all in your notebook, writing it down every day. Your name is off. Your name is Cecilia. I'll change if you vote me in as a friend. In the den of your soul. I live in the ghetto. You just come to visit me round election time. Hi. We live in a house the size of a matchbox. Roaches live with us wall to wall. You've killed all our leaders. I don't even have to do nothing to you. You'll cause your own country to fall.
And that was another artist whose music will be played in perpetuity as well, and that is Forever, and that's Stevie Wonder, better known as Stevie Morris, right? His real name. So before we go straight to the next Stevie Morris Walker Tour, I'd like to bring in the Black Librarian, who sounds like he might be in the car right now, but what do you have to say about the definition of neophyte?
Oh, neophyte, good word. Neophyte basically means the beginning, or, you know, when you be going through your stages. I think it's a good word to use, especially as it relates to growing and development. And part of traditional ancient societies, every child was considered a neophyte, and they was imbued with elders or people that came before them, the progenitors. Last word we had ancestor. Last time we talked about the word ancestor. These people were actually grooming that person that was a neophyte, that was beginning to learn the culture, what have you. If somebody was to become a blacksmith, there was somebody that was structured in the community that can train that person. If somebody wanted to be a painter, so everybody is born. That's born is considered a neophyte, especially as it relates to culture. And there's people there before, the progenitors, to help he or she, the child, learn how to actually develop a skill set to help the community collectively as a whole. So neophyte is a good term. Everybody have an opportunity to become a beginner or a new learner. And part of life in of itself, you learn something new every day.
And there you have it. We turn it back over to our student host, Walter Pierce. Take it away.
Thank you. And history is like a diamond. Oh, sorry. My next segment is on definition. And this segment provides the listener with words and so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, Whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for this week is innovation. And innovation, of course, means to create something new, basically, or a thought of creating something new. Something when you're basically developing a new idea or something physical. Now, let's think of the etymology of the word innovation and who really came up with the word innovation. And it was 19th century French sociologist Gabriel Tarde, and he believed that social change required the stimulus of innovation or innovative thoughts, and innovation leading to invention would blaze a trail for the rest of society to follow. And he couldn't have been more right, because our country and our world is really based on people creating new ideas and putting them into work. You could think about all the inventors, you know. We talk about African Americans, so you could think about, you know, the inventions of like Madam C.J. Walker, the inventions of Alexander, and the inventions of, you know, many other African Americans that created, that really helped our country. And, you know, the Alexander Graham Bells of the world, people like that. So our world is based on inventions of other people and innovative thoughts. So just in conclusion of this segment, I just want everybody to think about somebody that you've seen who's been an innovator in our society and how they have helped progress our world. Thank you.
No, thank you. We're going to go straight to Mr. Davis, the Black Librarian, and bring him back on. Who do you know that inspires you, or who do you see as an innovator?
Because I'm eclectic and I have a lot of different skill sets, there's several different people that inspire me based on the discipline. In terms of art, you know, I've been inspired by Mr. Carden at Arts High School, Ms. Caldwell at Arts High School, Ms. Thomas at Arts High School. In terms of library science, Paul Williams, James Brown, in which the James Brown African American Room is named after Dr. John Henry Clark, Ivan Van Sertima. These are people that I've met, that I talked to, that I conversed with, that was kind enough to spend at least 5 to 10 minutes or more with me, to have been a lot, you know, in my development stages of becoming a librarian. I met John Brown, who actually was a historian that worked on the Encyclopedia Africana. I seen his name there, and he sat and talked to me for hours about the importance of library science and also the importance of knowing your history, not just African-American history, but history and our history in relationship to world history, because wherever you see people of African descent, we're all over the world. So, and then we contribute, like other different ethnic groups contribute to development of the world and social dynamics. So my friends, you know, I get influenced from an aunt, especially when you see how the ant species, you see how they collectively work together to make sure that there's structure and there's cultural continuity in its species. So I learn from everything, bees, ants. You can sit back and watch a plant grow and learn a lot. So I take it all in. All I know is what I don't know.
Well, there you go. That would take up the time for everybody else, which is fine, right? Because we'll have more time for more comments from our panelists. But as we continue our broadcast here today on Blog Talk Radio, right, I would like for Justin Hill to present his segment now on diamonds. And I think it's going to be a little special. Take it away, Justin Hill.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody. And like Mr. Bay said, like diamonds is going to be special. History is like a diamond. Each piece represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And for my diamond segment, it will be on Serena Williams. And she was born September 26, 1981. She is an American professional tennis player. She has been ranked singles world by the Women's Tennis Association for 319 weeks, including a joint record 186 consecutive weeks, and finished as the year end. 5 times she won 23 Grand Slams. She won 23 Grand Slam single titles, the most by any player in the Open era, and the second most of all time. And also, Williams has also won 14 major women's doubles titles, all with her sister Venus, and the pair are unbeaten in Grand Slam doubles finals. This includes a non-calendar year Grand Slam between 2009 Wimbledon Championships and the 2010 French Open, which granted the sisters the doubles world #1 ranking. And the reason why I chose Serena Williams is because I think she's a great tennis player, and I actually met her one time, and I saw her play tennis, and I thought she was really good. And that concludes my segment for tennis.
Great job. Tanisha Gardner, I'm going to put you up next for a comment.
Yeah, I like Serena Williams. I didn't actually know that she came out with a clothing line. And actually, I went on the website right now and looked at it, and it's she has some really, really nice stuff. It's very inspirational, especially me being like as an entrepreneur and see like some of the, you know, the concepts that she has, and that's very inspiring.
I would say not only inspiring, but innovative. Right?
Yes, Mr. Bay. Innovative.
Well, listen, you know, part of what we do every week is we try to keep the content new and innovative every week to keep the listening audience's attention so that we are not just being redundant and repetitive. Although our consistency of doing what we do every week is important, it's also paramount that we talk about topics that not only interest individual people, whoever you are that's listening, but also tap into your social consciousness of what's going on. Now, because of the amount of time that we have left, Justin, I'm going to come back to you, and I'd like for you to do your next and final segment on Curtain. And just so that everyone knows, Curtains is a particular segment that I'm very proud of. When people come towards me and ask me, well, you know, Curtains, what is that all about? And they talk about different musical artists, right? They don't talk about what that artist has done behind the curtains of the stage. So Curtains is an exposure and analysis of the artists and their work behind the curtains of the stage. And many recording artists have grown rich, as we've seen and we see constantly. but we don't always see what they've done behind the curtains of the stage. A review of the musical growth and history and impact on the particular style and genius, on the general mood and attitude of us who are the listening audience, cool and lyrical, social consciousness as presented by the artist over a period of time and music releases. Well, Curtain serves best as an introduction to and an exploration of her genius and her involvement in influencing all people's style and creativity in the world today. Take it away, Justin Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And for my last segment, which is on Barbara Morrison. And Barbara Morrison is a legendary singer in Los Angeles jazz and blues music community. And she died when she was 72 years old. In early March, a GoFundMe was launched for Morrison after she was admitted to the hospital with cardiovascular disease, the Los Angeles Times reports. Also, she was born in 1949, and Morrison moved to Los Angeles in the early 1970s at the age of 22. And went on to perform alongside such legendary singers, musicians as Dizzee Gillespie, Ray Charles, Tony Bennett, Etta James, Nancy Wilson, and Dr. John. She also released solo music during her six-decade career, including albums I Know How to Do It and Visit Me. In addition to being a staple at Southern California jazz clubs, Morrison also performed at numerous jazz music festivals around the world, as well as New York's Carnegie Hall and the Times reports. And that concludes my segment on Curtains. And the reason why I chose Barbara Morrison is because I've heard one of her songs, and I thought she was a great singer.
I walk around heavy-hearted and sad. Night comes around, and I'm still feeling bad. Pouring down, blinding every hope I had. This pittering, pattering, beating and splattering, driving me mad. Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bad. Gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather. Just can't seem to get my poor self together. Keeps on raining all the time, all the time. Since he went away, the blues walked in and met me. If he's gone to stay, that old rocking chair's gonna get me. Every night I pray, the Lord above will let me walk in the sun once more. I can't go on. Everything I had is gone. Stormy weather. since my man and I ain't together. Keeps on raining all the time. Keeps on raining, keeps on raining.
Barbara Morrison, and of course there are more songs, but there's not enough time, and so we want to turn our direction to another curtain segment produced by our very own student host Walter Pierce. Take it away.
Thank you. And my curtain segment for this week is on Sam Cooke, and a little bit about Sam Cooke and his music. You know, he was keenly aware of the music around him and was particularly interested by Bob Dylan's song, Blowing in the Wind. Its treatment of the plight of Black Americans and other politically oppressed minorities, and its success in the hands of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Sam Cooke was convinced that the time was ripe for songs that dealt with more than twisting the night away. The result was A Change Is Gonna Come, perhaps the greatest song to come out the civil rights struggle, and one that seemed to close and seal the gap between the two directions of Cooke's career, from gospel to pop, arguably his greatest and most important song. It was an artistic apotheosis for Cooke. During this same period, he had also devised a newer, more advanced dance-oriented soul sound in the form of the song Shake. These two recordings heralded a new era and a new phase of his career, with seemingly the whole world open to him. By 1964, Cooke was on top of the world professionally, and his greatest hit album stayed on the charts 9 months, and 29 of the songs had come in the top 40 hits. Cooke was extremely wealthy due to his career and numerous business interests. And that concludes what I have for Sam Cooke. And as you can see, you know, Sam Cooke was always a great musician, but he figured out that he had to start making music that was for his African Americans and was appropriate for the time period. So, of course, A Change Is Gonna Come during the Civil Rights Movement was a song that, of course, went off the charts and was played all during different movements and sung by many African Americans during the time. So now today we'll be playing A Change Is Gonna Come by Sam Cooke. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Seconds to go, it's time for us to do a wrap. And so I'd like to bring everyone who is a guest panelist on our team today, starting with Val, our number one fan, right? Say good morning and just tell us, make a comment. Take it away, Val.
Good morning, Quest Youth Radio. Thank you for your continued insight and knowledge about our history. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. With 60 seconds left, I'd like to bring Calvin in. Take it away, Calvin. Comment?
Oh, great show, everybody. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, and good morning to you. And Tanisha Gardner, comment?
Yeah, it was a great show, and I learned a lot today.
Okay. And we're going to go to Mr. Harris. What comment?
Yo, always interesting and consistent.
Okay. Justin Hill, what did you think? 10 seconds.
I think today was a great show.
Okay, we'll take it. And we'll have student host Walter Pierce to close us out.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations, live on 89.5 from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. Quest Youth Radio is
the everyone
the best youth radio.
And we're going to end out with Sam Cooke, "What a Wonderful World It Is Indeed." Thank you very, very much, everyone, for tuning in.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you.
Hello?